May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from John's Gospel, chapter 8. Jesus said, "I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that he has been speaking to them about the Father. Jesus therefore said, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak those things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing in him.'" Jesus said this about himself. This God-man, this one who is 100% God and yet fully man, and this one who stepped out of eternity and clothed himself in our humanity. God doesn't need for the Holy Spirit to come upon him, but Jesus, the Holy Spirit, came upon him. God can't be tempted, and yet Jesus was tempted in every way. God can't learn, but Jesus learned obedience with the things that he suffered. God can't die, but Jesus died. And so this one who was a prototype of the author and the perfecter of the life of faith, the prototype of new creation, the firstborn among those from the dead. He says in verse 38 of chapter 10 of John, "But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe on the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and that I'm in the Father." In John chapter 10, 14, Jesus says this about himself, "Do not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me, the Father abiding in me, does his works." So God demonstrated in the person of Christ union with him as the Son of Man. He was in Christ and Christ was in him. That's union. And Jesus made the statement that Bracken read about not being alone, for the Father's with me, from John 16. He said, "I'm not alone. The Father's with me." And what I read to you from John chapter 8, where Jesus says, "The Father doesn't leave me alone." I mentioned some of this Sunday. We'll do it again throughout the week and again Sunday morning. I was going to talk about something different, but I can talk about this. People ask me sometimes, has it been hard these 2.5 years with Olivia having died? And because of the way we lived, particularly the last few years, we spent a lot of time together because I was her caregiver. And COVID was a curse of the world, but it was also a blessing to us because there were no requirements for me to travel anywhere, just be home and take care of Olivia. God's a multitasker, you do know, right? And he causes all things to work together for good. Though he doesn't cause them all, he causes them together for good. And there were times in that process, many of you have gone through things maybe similar, where you felt very alone because other people can't relate to what you're going through. Maybe you've felt that before. But one of the things I realized through all that was that I never felt alone, even though there was the temptation to feel alone, because just as the Father was in Christ and Christ was in the Father, Jesus was in me. And then after she died, there's this whole thing about, do you feel alone? And the answer to the question is no, I don't feel alone. People ask me sometimes, am I ever going to remarry? Well, it won't be because I feel alone. It won't be because I need companionship. And so there have been times when I've said to the Lord, like feelings will come and I'll go, circumstances, I'll go, "Lord, I just feel alone here. Maybe I'm dealing with something. It's not like lonely. I just feel alone here." And when you're in leadership, that happens a lot. And what I hear the Lord say to me, and I've mentioned to some people lately, God's voice to me lately, and this isn't, I thought about, Lord, do I share these things? And the Lord, you should share your journey. That's part of discipleship. And that is that his voice most of the time now isn't like a still small voice. It's like the trumpet Revelation speaks about. And his presence is in me is something I can see. It's, again, almost like 3D. And I remember going, thinking, I'm alone here. I feel alone here, Lord. And Jesus will say things to me like, funny, I don't feel alone at all. And I would go, what do you mean? He said, I've got you, Chuck. Well, then, of course, I got you. And we're facing this together in union. Now, could Jesus get by without me? For sure. But he's yoked himself to me in union. That's what it means. I'm in Christ. That's what it means to be saved. And so there's nothing I ever face, no situation I ever face, no responsibility that I ever face, no pressure that I ever face, no quiet moment that I ever face where I'm alone. Jesus said, and it was an important thing for him to say, as the Son of Man, that the Father didn't leave him alone. Jesus never leaves me alone. And so that in those times now, this trip that we had, Africa trips were always interesting. And for those who would love to be in positions of leadership, I love it because it's God's will for my life, but it's not like winning the ticket, endless ticket to Lazy River ride somewhere to some plush hotel. There's things you have to do, decisions you have to make. I'm learning that this, one of the things the Lord's taught me lately, he said the idea of being looking good spiritually to everybody or being thought of well spiritually to everybody is very toxic. Because if that's what you do and if somebody doesn't and they won't, there will be times when they won't, it'll be devastating. It's not worth the devastation. So this frees you from manipulation or maneuvering or trying to get people in a good place. You just, we're called to speak the truth of love. And so there are times in this Africa trip where like I would go, Lord, I feel alone in this thing. People were sick. I didn't know what. And the Lord would say to me, funny, I don't think you're alone at all. I go, oh yeah. And then something that we'll talk about again Sunday. This is just one of those works, because you're in Christ, you're in me, that I've prepared beforehand that you're just to walk in. I've been anticipating this moment for at least 2,000 years. And I knew all along that you weren't going to face it alone. That's why I've been looking forward to it. Because together we're going to do this thing. You're going to experience me supernaturally, allowing you to participate in how I deal with this and how I handle this. And it was just freedom. So I just encourage you, if you ever had that feeling, I just feel so alone here, Lord, that's the enemy. Because you're in Christ, and Christ is in you. And you're not alone here. Jesus would not dare let that happen. His commitment to you, to participate in your life and include you in his, is what this whole thing's about, is what new birth is all about, is what he gave himself on the cross for. Remember this passage from Ephesians. Ephesians 3, I love this. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose. Eternal purpose. Eternity goes back a long way. Not just go forward a long way, it goes back a long way. According to the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your being in Christ has always been God's eternal plan. And so everything that you ever face, even the rest of this day, he's anticipated, not with forlorn, he's anticipated as the victor, as the overcomer. Not only are you not alone, you've been privileged to participate in the life that Jesus lives through your life and your life story, never doing it alone, ever. How many Christians make bad decisions, give in to bad feelings, because they believe and fear and feel alone? That's a deception from the enemy. It's not true. It's never been true. God planned that out before eternity, that you'd never be alone, that you'd be attached to a supernatural being, the second person of the Trinity, so that he, who he is, facing everything you have in life becomes this extraordinary adventure of enjoying the God of the impossible, doing what he does. And so a couple of times on the bus when I would say, Lord, I feel alone here. I'm not sure what to do. And I would hear his voice go, well, that's funny. I'm really excited because I know exactly what to do. And you get to participate in that. I'll add to my wisdom and it'll come out like your voice as if it were your decision. There's no pressure on me. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.